to be here. And we want to thank you for this audience, Lord. And we want to thank you for your precious, holy word. And we thank you, Father, for the privilege once again of going to the book that you've given us, the Bible, the Holy Bible. And we want to thank you for the Holy Spirit that's come to guide us into the truth that is within this wonderful book. And we thank you for the Holy One, the Son of God, that came down. And because without him going to the cross, none of the things we're going to study tonight, none of the things we're going to read would have any relevance to us at all. Thank you for his life. Thank you for his death. Thank you for his resurrection, his ascension. And thank you, Lord, in anticipation of his soon coming to take us home to you, back to the Father's house. And Father, we thank you tonight for giving us your only begotten Son. Lord, you had to listen to him crying out on the cross. We didn't hear that, but you heard him cry, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" And I'm a dad, and I have children, and particularly when they were in such innocent stages of life, sinless. Oh, God, to hear that cry would tear my heart into pieces. And God, you allowed your heart to be broken so that we could be saved. He allowed his body to be broken so that we could be saved. And Lord, we are grateful to you tonight. And we're going to give our all tonight, Father. We're not going to hold back because it's if any reason at all tonight, Father, we're going to give you our very best because you gave your best for us. And it's a privilege to serve you. And Father, we thank you for something to do for you that's going to result in people spending eternity in heaven and not hell. And we'll give you the praise for all that's said and done from this point forward. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And if indeed this broadcast is one of those that is chosen to be put on the air on WMAF, we welcome the WMAF listening audience to a Sunday night alive. This is not just our Sunday a.m., but sometimes will be our Sunday p.m. service. But it's all going to be broadcast on Sunday morning. So we're just going to call the broadcast, whether it's recorded in the a.m. service or the p.m. service, we're going to call it Sunday Morning Alive. Praise God. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful. Praise the Lord. And sharper than any two-edged sword. And that meant it's alive. It's full of life. And that life is something that every one of us need within us tonight. Spiritual life is very powerful, powerful stuff. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles for just a little while tonight, would you please open them with me to the book of St. Matthew, St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 14 and 15. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 14 and 15. And I want to talk to you tonight about the signs of true conversion. And I want to emphasize again tonight what we began this morning, the term true conversion. The reason I want that in the title is because that's what we're going to be talking about in this series that we've begun. It may consummate tonight. The Lord may move us on to something else. But this morning and tonight, we're talking about true conversion. And the reason I feel compelled to talk about true conversion, number one, is because I pray about these sermons and I genuinely feel like I've been prompted by the Holy Spirit for the subject matter. But there's another thing, and it's what I am beholding in my own generation, what I'm seeing take place in Christian circles, particularly in the Western Hemisphere, in the United States in particular. There's been a paradigm shift that has taken place. And there are a lot of things that were central to the gospel that are not kept in that place where God put them anymore. There's been a shifting and a changing. And every time I hear people talk about the reasons for this, I hear, generally speaking, I hear this. I hear that the ends justifies the means. In other words, if we get the people into church through whatever way that we can get them in, then maybe we can begin to move them toward the cross and toward repentance and toward salvation. But first, we've got to more or less hook them and get them in. And I understand the concept of fishing and using the right kind of bait. And I understand the desire to get people to take notice of what we're saying. I do understand that. But when we start shifting away from repentance and we start shifting away from dealing effectively with sin to where we don't even want to mention it, to where it's something we don't want to talk about anymore, when we start shifting away from a biblical biblically verified salvation experience, and we start moving into an easy believism where it's kind of insinuated, if not said directly from the pulpit, that you can be saved without confession of sin. You can get saved without repentance. It has become such a cheap grace and a cheap cross that there are many people claiming salvation that have absolutely no evidence in their life that a change has taken place in the heart, because there's no real regard for what Jesus has told us that we should be doing. I don't think there's a person in here that's perfectly obedient. I'll tell you up front, and if you want to argue the point, I'll stay after church, but if you're so puffed up with pride that you believe you've arrived there, there's no point of us even discussing the matter. Can you say amen? But I'll tell you right now, I don't believe you have arrived. Are you judging me? No, God's judged us all, and the Bible said if we say that we have no sin, amen, we are liars and we're not telling the truth. And he's talking to believers here. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin, whether it's commission or omission. Amen. If we let the Holy Spirit do his work in our life. See, you never get away from repentance. Some people don't even want to do it when they come to Christ. And a lot of people don't want to ever do it after they come to Christ if they ever did it. But you never get away from repentance. Can you say amen? And if we could be perfect, we wouldn't need to talk about repentance. But we are not perfect. And as long as we're not, how many's ever got angry? Amen. Did you know the Bible said it's okay to get angry as long as it doesn't lead you to sin? But most of the time, when I get angry, I end up having to repent. If not what I said, but the way that I said it. The animosity that was in me when I said it. A lot of things I say when I'm angry, I would stand on when I'm not angry. But I wouldn't stand on it in the same spirit as when I was angry. Can you say amen? I don't want to just win an argument and blow somebody away when it comes to the gospel or doctrine or getting a point across. I want to bring people into God's truth. I want to see people have a heart for truth and a desire for truth. I don't want to alienate people, but I don't want to compromise truth in order to have them come under the umbrella of fellowship either. So listen to this scripture tonight. This is important stuff. Because we're living in the last days, and you don't have to be a student of prophecy like Perry Stone or some of the others to comprehend that. If you read the Bible for an hour and read your newspaper for 5 minutes, you're going to see that we're living in a time that is described as the last days in Scripture. All right, Matthew 13, 14, and 15. Jesus has preached, before I read these two verses from his own words, Jesus has preached, and people have turned him off, not because they couldn't comprehend, not because they didn't have light to see and faith to believe, but because they didn't want to hear what he had to say. Amen. There's a difference in sinning in the darkness of ignorance and sinning in the light of revelation. God says there's a difference in it. He said, before I came and spoke to you, Jesus said, before I came to talk to you, you didn't have any sin in the sense of now we're all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he said you didn't have any sin in the sense of having truth brought to you and you flat out rejecting that truth. If I hadn't brought it to you, you wouldn't have that sin hanging over you. But now that I've come and given you the truth, that sin is hanging directly over you. And it's not going to go away without repentance and a change in attitude toward the truth of God. Yeah. Amen? It's not going to go away. We need the message of repentance. I really, the more I study this, the more I see the positive result of getting right with God. I mean, I say it kind of coining a phrase, there's nothing wrong with getting right with God, but folks, there really isn't nothing wrong with getting right with God. And I know the world doesn't like to be convicted and doesn't like to be confronted with the fact of their lostness or that the wrath of God abides upon them. But if we can't confront the world with that truth, how are they ever going to be convicted of their sin? Amen. How's the Holy Spirit going to do his job if we simply won't tell them the truth because we don't want them to shy away from us? Folks, I believe the pride that's in man that causes them to shy away, amen, is the very thing that's holding back, amen, the Holy Spirit from his mighty work, amen. If we would embrace truth, you know what Jesus said to the church that made him sick? You know the scripture in the book of Revelation of Laodicea. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. He said, I want you to be zealous for repentance. I want you to embrace repentance. I want you to have a zeal for it. Because if you do, all of these things that are standing against you are going to be erased. You're going to be changed, and everything that's pronounced against you is going to be changed. And you can move from that area of danger and judgment into an area of safety and security and peace and joy. You can know the true riches. Amen. And the true riches is not what kind of condominium you've got or what kind of car that you drive or how much money's in your bank account. That has nothing to do with the eternal stuff. Amen. So to this church that interpreted all of their easy believism that was supported so well, amen, that it made them the richest church of the seven. They said, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And Jesus said, you know, you're really poor, miserable, blind, and naked. And I counsel you to buy of me gold trodden in the fire that you might be rich. Amen. And seek of me for white raiment that you might be clothed and the shame of your nakedness doth not appear. Amen. He's counseling and telling them, if you will let me bring conviction to you through showing you your true self, amen, and you will repent, then I can restore you, praise God. Amen. Then I can change all of that. Then I can give you the true riches, the true righteousness. You won't be standing in jeopardy of being rejected on the judgment day. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. It's easy to have a revival out of people. That word hot is the word for metal when the end of it begins to glow. And for water, if the word he used for hot was applied to water, it's when it begins to boil. It comes to a boil. Come on, folks. We don't see this white, hot, radical type of Christianity in the Western world very often. It's a novelty to see something like that. It's an aberration. You don't see, amen, people really fired up for Jesus. I see people that are church-going people, some sit on deacon boards, that are more fired up over sports events than they are, amen, the coming judgment or about following Jesus or any of the things that are so vital and important to God. I see people that are fired up over political issues. I see people get into some, there's two denominations out there, pray, and they fight about as bad as the church. Amen. Two political parties. And I see people butting heads, and I see people getting passionate about what they believe. And they raise their voices and they get loud and other people join in. But I don't see passion for Jesus out there. And the things of God out there and the issues that have to do with souls and eternity. I don't even hear it a lot of time from pulpits. Sunday morning, I used to go to different channels that someone would be preaching a powerfully anointed message and it would fire me up and help me. Amen. When I was coming into church, when people would come in with all their headaches and heartaches and earaches and backaches and every other kind of aches. Amen. Amen. And have to override that. I tried to kind of fill up and get extra full so I could just come in and run over. But it's hard to find an anointed message on Sunday morning, even on Christian television. That's an amazing thing to me. Amen. I go through the resurrection, the greatest event. Listen, the cross is no good without it. The blood is no good without it. The Bible's no good without it. Paul said if it didn't take place, amen, we're found to be liars. Everything we said about salvation and God and Jesus is a lie. Amen. And if it did not take place, you're yet in your sins. And if it didn't take place, the dead are not going to be raised. Can you say amen? The devil won the day. Amen. If it didn't take place, the whole Bible, like a house of cards, and all the prophecies and all the promises crumble. And yet on Resurrection Sunday, the day we call Easter, one of the greatest celebrations of the faith. Can you say amen? We're hard-pressed to find someone talking about the resurrection on Christian TV. Some people are so involved with this physical world, they can't even raise their head above the physical and the material long enough to talk about the eternal things. And I'm saying, Lord, when did it all shift? There's a paradigm shift, and things are changing. And that change is opening the door for what the Bible called the world church that's coming. It's going to be a compromised church. In fact, every religion, not just Christianity, but all the other religions that get involved under that umbrella are going to have to compromise to a degree. And we're already moving into this tolerance that is called for. Amen? And right now there are people on television, and I don't have to call the names. You know who their names are, and I'm not afraid to. It's just it won't do any good. But I can tell you there's people on national television right now that are classifying, amen, Christians who really follow Jesus with the Islamic fundamentalist right now. Not because we kill people, hurt people, harm people, do anything to blow up anything or hurt anybody. We want to do good to our enemies and pray for those that despitefully use us. We don't want to kill them in the name of God, in the name of Jesus. We're taught not to by our master. And yet we're being classified because we believe what we believe. It's amazing here in America that such a violent reaction would come to the faith, amen, that has built this country in the foundations. You can't teach the history. You cannot teach American history without the faith coming into it if you teach it accurately and comprehensively. Because the faith was there at the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Faith was there, amen, when Washington was standing, amen, and the battle was one side or the other. Faith was there. I'm not saying all these men were a perfect example of Christianity. I'm saying these were men of faith that believed in God, and that's why on your coins is the next thing they'd like to get rid of, but there's a lot of coins out there already, amen. But it says something about this nation in its inception. This is going to be a rich nation, and they knew it. And through that riches, a powerful nation. And they wanted to be established that our true wealth and our true safety, our true security, amen, our true strength is not in our wealth, but in the God who blessed America. So they put it on every coin and every piece of paper money that was printed. In who do we trust? In God do we trust. It's sitting on there today, and a lot of people don't want it on there, but it's still on there. I believe we need a revival in America. I believe the church in America is in dire need of a heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival. And I believe we need to see some people converted. Amen? Because that's the term Jesus used for being saved. Converted. Listen to this. They turned him off. They tuned him out. Verse 14, I'm going to pick up the narrative after this has happened. Jesus speaking of Matthew 13, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, or Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Sounds like Old Testament stuff, doesn't it? And yet Jesus said, this is not just something that is for that old dispensation that we never talk about in the new dispensation. This applies. When people close their heart, it's a dangerous thing. It can be a soul-damning thing if that attitude isn't changed. And Jesus said, I'm going to talk about this because exactly what was said in the Old Testament can be said in the New Testament. Listen to this. For their heart of the people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. The new NIV says really what the word means, because the word converted means simply to turn. If you're going one way and you realize it's the wrong way, you turn to go the other way. It's akin to repentance, because that means a change of mind and about face. You change your mind about continuing to live in sin, and you begin to turn toward righteousness. When the apostles were sent, they were sent to turn people, weren't they? The scripture said they sent them to turn them from darkness to light. Amen? To get them converted, to bring them in under conviction so they could repent. Amen? Conviction's powerful stuff. It's God loving you too much to let you alone. Can you say amen? Everybody say, God loving me too much to let me alone. Did you know if God had let you alone, you would have never come to Jesus? Nobody in this room can come except the Father draw him. Aren't you glad God kept pulling you? Aren't you glad he kept convicting you? Amen. It's love reaching out to you. God wasn't trying to hassle you. God's trying to save you. Hallelujah. Amen. What happened? How did the paradigm shift come? When we can't preach repentance, such a powerful, positive thing that puts us right with God so his blessings can really come upon us and upon our nation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Return to me and what happens? I'll return to you. I don't think we've seen what can happen when God returns to this nation. Amen. When God returns to this nation, we don't fight wars to a stalemate. Hallelujah. We fight them and we win them, praise God. When God returns to this nation, hallelujah, amen, a blessing comes upon a nation. When God returns to the church, we won't have to hook people. There will be a delivering presence. There will be a mighty manifestation, amen, of His presence and power. People will come because God is being manifest. Hallelujah. Amen. And He can deliver them and He can help them and He can save them. He can set them free. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. When I got saved, God was on the move. Hallelujah. We were talking about the coming of Jesus. The songs were about, I can't wait to see Jesus. It was my theme song on our radio broadcast. I can't wait to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Assemblies of God did a poll of all their preachers. They were wanting to find out as a denomination what God was saying through most of their ministers. And after the poll, there was two things that emerged as the prominent messages that people wanted to hear and bring in such results. And number one was, how can I know that I am in the will of God, that I'm surrendered to His will? How can I, in other words, be a better disciple and follower of Jesus Christ? How can I die more to me so that I can live more to Him? That was a message desired and preached as the Spirit prompted it, and people were receptive. And Christians were in altars dedicating themselves, amen, to follow Jesus with their whole life and their whole heart. God moved. I said God moved. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm one of those people that was healed during that time. Not necessarily because someone came with a gift of healing and preached on healing. Amen. They were preaching salvation and they were preaching repentance, and God confirmed that truth because they preached Jesus and Him crucified as the central figure of the gospel. And because of that, God confirmed His word. And what's one of the great signs that He used over and over and continues to this day to confirm the truth about Jesus Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they'll cast out devils. In My name they'll tread on serpents. In My name they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God said, if I'm going to do a sign to confirm the gospel, it's going to be a sign that helps set people free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because I love fallen man in spite of himself. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I'm a recipient of healing of cancer of the blood. Sometimes we go into ministries and can't find one verifying document for thousands of healing confessions. And if you don't question that, you should. Don't put your head in the sand. There's something wrong when nobody can verify a healing that's been confessed. Am I wrong here in saying that? I'm not attacking anyone. I'm telling you, if you don't get healed, don't you say you are. Praise God. Amen. But if God does heal you and you stay healed, shout it from the housetops. And if you can get an x-ray, get it. Hallelujah. Amen. The doctor called my healing spontaneous remission because he wouldn't allow for miracles. Amen. After prayer, it went away. The cancer in my blood went away. Amen. So when I went back to the doctor and he said, and I wish he was alive today, Dr. Paul Minthorn, I remember where his office was, I believe just off of East Hillsborough Avenue, but I was just 8 going on 9. But I remember when they took me back to the doctor's office and he did the test all over again, and the yellow jaundice was gone and my liver was functioning normal because I had hepatitis because of the weakened condition, other organs were being affected because of the leukemia. And I remember when he talked to my mom and daddy about a perfectly good blood test, that there was no more cancer cells anywhere in my blood, anywhere in my body because of the test. And he put down on his piece of paper, spontaneous remission. Isn't that incredible? Amen. I had cancer before prayer. I'm cancer free without. After prayer is over with. Amen. I was 8 going on 9. I'm 60 today. Praise God. I've never had a problem with cancer or my liver. Amen. Amen. Or any other part of my body except the old bones that I hurt and damage from time to time that God has to heal me to keep me patched up and going. But I want to tell you something. God has been good to your preacher. God has been gracious to me. And I'm going to tell tell you what was being preached at our church. Repentance was preached. Conviction fell. Amen. If you came in that church where I was healed, genuinely healed, amen, it wouldn't be anything to see people running to the altar to receive Jesus as their Savior. Amen. Young people would be cutting up and flirting on the back row, paying no attention to the sermon. But at the end of the service, that glory of God began to hover over that place. God's manifest presence came in that room, and you knew something holy was happening, and everybody got their mind off all the other stuff. Conviction began to fall, and young people began to run to altars and weep their way in repentance into the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you, that is what Holy Ghost revival is all about. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And then he confirmed that message of salvation and deliverance by healing the sick. And I was one of the sick that God healed. Glory to God. Amen. I found out you don't have to preach healing to get healed. Amen. You can get healed after preaching it. But that's not it. Listen, Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And God healed the sick. Devils were cast out. And so many people came to the Lord. He couldn't handle the number of people that wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's revival. It begins with the salvation of the soul. It begins with conversion. So the new NIV says, and turn. If they would have turned, converted means if they'd turned, I would have healed them. The Amplified uses the term where converted is written the same way. One paraphrase says, turn unto me. Turn unto me. If you should turn unto me and I should heal them. I'm going to read again this. I read it this morning, but it's important to get it. It's a biblical and theological definition, kind of a comprehensive definition of conversion as is written here. The decisive act in which a sinner turns away from sin in genuine repentance and accepts the salvation that Christ offers. The imagery in conversion is that of turning. Say it again, turning. Person is going along a road, realizes he or she's on the wrong track. They will never reach the destination if they continue in that direction. So the person turns or is converted. He or she ceases to go in the wrong direction, begins going in the right one. This lines up with what repentance is. It's changing your mind about sin and about your condition and about your need for a Savior. When you make that change of mind, then you can invite Christ in to give you a change of heart. But it begins with a change of mind. Amen? Conversion changes the direction of one's course of life from the wrong way to the right way, the way that God wants. But it requires a personal desire. I'm going to give you some terms here. Here's why I'm using true conversion, why it's so important. An authentic faith. Say it with me, authentic faith. It's a genuine concern among godly men and women about conversion. Well, you actually don't even hear about conversion. You just hear people professing that they are saved. You don't hear about conversion. It's amazing that Jesus could use that term that meant there's been a change, a turnaround in the life. But so many lives demonstrate no change and no turn. That word is not applicable to the people that we're bringing under the salvation umbrella. We're counting heads and calling them saved. Sometimes water becomes the element instead of the conversion. We believe somehow without the conversion that water baptism will do it. Water baptism has no value without conversion. Water baptism, which we're about to do here because there's been a conversion. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Because there's been a conversion, we can now have a water baptism. Amen. Why? Because the old man has died. Amen. And is buried with Christ. And a new person is emerging because of the gospel. To walk in what? That conversion always brings. The newness of life. Praise the Lord. We need to see some people today that are professing salvation, walking in the newness of life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! Is that all right to talk about the newness of life? Amen. If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. Everything, the values, the moral compass, everything changes. The paradigm shifts in the right direction. Hallelujah. I like the term true conversion and authentic faith because the eternal destiny of our soul depends on the fact of our conversion. Everybody say the fact of our conversion. Jesus said if they'd listened to me, they would have seen, they would have heard, they would have understood in their heart, they would have been converted, and I would have healed them. He's not talking about their bodies, he's talking about their souls. Can you say amen? Their eternal spirit. If they had saw and heard and understood, they would have been converted. They would have turned from their sin and turned to him for salvation. He could have saved them if they hadn't turned away from the truth. Here's why this is so important. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. You know, I'm reading things tonight that you don't hear preached hardly ever. And I'm still stunned by the fact that we have platforms of ministry to reach multitudes, and we won't tell them all that Jesus taught, because it's not in vogue anymore to use certain terms that he used. We don't even talk a lot about heaven, let alone hell anymore. But that doesn't change the fact of heaven, and it sure don't change the fact of hell. Can you say, man, not preaching it doesn't change its reality. Matthew 7, 21 through 23 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. That's why conversion is so important. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many disconcerting word. This is from the one who's seen the end from the beginning. This is not a few people that just, you know, slip through the cracks. This is a whole bunch of people. And these are not people that are abject sinners, rejecting God, atheists, agnostic. These are people that have a profession. Because they're going to say to him, Lord, Lord, many have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Jesus is not asking for sinless profession. He is demanding that there be a conversion. Amen. That there be a new bent. Amen. That there be a change. Amen. Amen? We're not supposed to be Satan's slaves anymore. Sin is ever present, and we're going to have to deal with it. And sometimes we're going to have to go before God and repent. But sin does not have dominion. Let not sin reign in your mortal body to fulfill it in the lust thereof. It doesn't have dominion. Jesus is Adonai. He is Lord, can you say, man, of the church. And he's Lord of those who's been converted. You know what converted people start doing before we have a chance to jump on them and try to get their rough edges off? They start asking questions like, God don't want me to smoke, does he? God don't want me to listen to heavy metal, does he? God, they're concerned about what God wants now. Why? Because the paradigm has shifted. There's been a change from darkness to light, from the devil to Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise in this room tonight. Hallelujah. Nobody had to tell me to get rid of my raunchy rock and roll stuff when I got saved. Amen. Nobody had to tell me to do that. The Holy Ghost told me, amen, to do that. And I was glad to see it go. It was no sacrifice to get rid of Jimi Hendrix. What a bummer. No sun coming through my window. Feel like I'm living at the bottom. I still remember the lyrics of his depressing song. No sun coming through my window. Feel like I'm living at the bottom. Listen, folks, that is clinical depression. No sun coming through my window. Feel like I'm living at the bottom of a grave. No sun coming through my window. Feel like I'm living at the bottom of a grave. Won't somebody rescue me because I don't live today? Well, I do live. I pass from death to life. That's not my music anymore. Hallelujah. 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 I like to go to church and say and sing those songs. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Hallelujah. Because the sun came through my window every morning. Can you say amen? And I wasn't living at the bottom of a grave. Amen. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Can you say amen? Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? I'd rather hear about that. Because the paradigm shifted when I got saved. I looked at my feet, the old timers used to sing, and they looked new. I looked at my hands, and they did too. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Jesus said, behold, I make everything new. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We used to sing, I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Old things have passed away. Everything is new today. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You remember when you passed from death to life? When you made that transition? Did anything change? You bet it changed. Hallelujah. Why did it change? Because there was a turnaround. Why was there a turnaround? Because you were converted. And He heals your soul, heals your mind. And you say amen. Seals you with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. People that can't tell me when that turn came. We're trying to somehow make them feel better and not being able to identify a crisis point. I know we don't have identical conversion testimonies, but everybody that's had this change knew when it happened. How can you have something this radical and supernatural and not know it? You got to know it. There comes a point where you don't depend on others to tell you. Amen. The Holy Ghost takes up residence on the inside of you. And His Spirit, amen, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. Wow. And you know that you know that you know. Amen. That if you draw your last breath tonight, you'll draw your next one in glory. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible good news tonight? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, somebody told me I was like the old, and it was a great compliment. He said to me, he said, you're like the old Ryman Auditorium in Nashville before they built the new Grand Ole Opry place. The old one had the acoustics and it had the you know, the it was just part of the old school and the old guard. It's all changed now and it'll never be the same. But he said, you're like the old Ryman Auditorium. And that's roughly the equivalent to say, you are a prehistoric dinosaur of a preacher. But you're preaching the gospel that all the rest of those prehistoric dinosaur preachers preach. Amen. You bet. Amen. Listen, I am one of those prehistoric dinosaur type preachers in the sense that I'm telling you what Isaiah said. And I'm telling you what, amen, Jesus said. And I'm telling you what Paul said. And I'm telling you what Peter said. Because the faith that I want you established in is built upon the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Can you say amen? I'm like the old Roman. I'm like the old, hallelujah, Roman auditorium. Listen, you're listening to old school tonight. Not because it's outdated, but because it's truth and it never changes. Can you say amen? It's contemporary for the 21st century postmodern church. Hallelujah. 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 Truth doesn't change because God don't change. Hallelujah. And the Word doesn't change. Listen, we're not supposed to be messing with this to make it fit postmodern people in the 21st century. This thing's supposed to be changing you and me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 And when it does, revival comes to the preacher. Revival comes to people in the church. We'll never get the world interested until we let Him change us. Paradigm has sure shifted. That's the bad news. Here's the good news. It can shift back. Can you say amen? Return unto me. What am I going to do? I'll return unto you. Boy, we won't need New York marketing advisors to tell us how to raise funds when God returns. Can you say amen? We won't have to worry about that. I do believe this. God's work done God's way will have God's resources. Not because we have some hook to grab people and get them to turn loose of it, but because God moves on people. God moved on people to give us radio time. Thank God that somebody listened. Hallelujah. It ain't costing us a dime. Hallelujah. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I wouldn't, if I had to do what some people do, I would not lower your name and the integrity of the gospel to preach. If you don't want me on there, I am not going to lower myself to put myself. But if you want something done, you do it. I'll preach it. Praise God. It wouldn't surprise me if another station didn't want it. It wouldn't surprise me if they didn't put us on shortwave down to Borneo. I don't know where he's going to take it, but I know what we're standing on, because we want souls for God. Not necessarily people in this church, but souls for God. God will take care of our growth here if we just take care of His harvest there. I believe that. Amen? I believe it. I believe it with all of my heart. Psalm 107 and verse 20 said, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. God knows how to get His word out. If I just looked at our resources, I'd say, Lord, we're going to be just this little contained ministry. It's not going to go any further than here, but God's getting His word out. God's getting His word out because it's His word. And I'm going to just, not in pride, but I'm going to tell you, I'm old school, and God blesses old school. We don't need nothing else but His blessing. Can you say, man? God is good. He doesn't change. What I'm telling you tonight holds true. And what moves me tonight is so many people are going to profess something that when they stand before Christ, He's going to reject them. And I don't want anybody to do that. I don't want to have even a feeling inside of me that says, well, now they see, now they should have listened. No, I don't want that. I don't want nobody to stand beyond where grace can change them, amen, and stand there and have to face God with their sins because they rejected that could set them free. Because they closed their ears, they closed their eyes, and God couldn't change their heart. Preachers have compromised because of so many closed eyes and closed hearts, closed ears. When ears become dull of hearing, you better come up with something else because the cross isn't going to bring them anymore. The Christ on it will not bring them anymore. So we offset that for something else that will bring them. And we think when we get them there for the wrong reason, they'll turn to Jesus for the right reason. I do not believe that. I believe there's a lot of phony professions of faith. Because converted means to turn. To turn means to change. And the change is self-evident. Can you say amen? Those of you that have come to Christ here, a change came. Didn't a change come? Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad I'm in a room with some converted people. Because if the trump sounds tonight, hallelujah, amen, this room will be empty. Can you say amen? I'd like to see it empty. Empty! Glory be to God. Amen. And listen, I'm going to tell you something else. If we all live a while longer and end up out there under the dirt somewhere, when the trump sounds, if you've been converted, amen, the dead in Christ are going to rise. Hallelujah. That thing's going to be empty. Well, it won't be empty, but it'll be empty of us. Amen. That's something to shout about. Amen. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm so glad He loves us tonight. Hallelujah. Give Him praise. Somebody give Him praise in here. I'm about ready to quit. Let's just give Him praise. Hallelujah. 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 The three tests of true conversion, and I just want to run them by you. We won't go into them because there's no time. But the first is regeneration. Regeneration. And transformation. And restoration. Amen. If you're converted, you can look forward to three great events in your life, and it begins with regeneration. This is a spiritual thing. This is not, mentally accepting a creed or a catechism or deciding I'll go with this or I'll go with that in all the multiple choice religions and denominational preferences that are out there. Amen. Regeneration is the work of the Holy Ghost. It's not the work of man. Amen. Listen, you don't have to change your heart. You just have to have a change of heart. Amen. When you have a change of heart and say, I'm sick and tired of sin and I want Jesus to come in and make a difference in my life and save my eternal soul, I repent and I'm ready for change. Jesus is ready to change anyone. Hallelujah. And there's nothing too hard for God. You may think you're a hard case, but you're not too hard for God to change. Regeneration. Transformation. Amen. Regeneration involves your eternal spirit. Transformation involves your mind. Amen. Be no more conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. We behold as in a glass His face. We are transformed. We are converted. We are changed into His image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Aren't you glad it's the work of God? We could never pull it off, but it is God that worketh in you to will and to purpose to do of His good pleasure and restoration. Lord, I love restoration. Amen. God begins to give you back what the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the amen and the locust have stolen from you. Can you say amen? By sending former and latter rain into your life. I can't wait to get into these issues right here because this is positive stuff. These are not just tests. These are also blessings that are ours in Jesus. Regeneration is yours. Transformation is yours. Restoration is yours. Mine tonight. Amen. I believe God is going to restore some years that near nervous exhaustion took away from me. Because we were going like gangbusters and I didn't use any wisdom and burnt my crazy self out. Amen. If I had killed myself, the Lord would have slapped me when I got there and say, why did you do that? Amen. I'm serious. I couldn't have accused him of not being faithful. He would accuse me of being nuts. I mean, you know, you don't eat right, you don't sleep right, you try to do everything there is. You don't figure out the good things from the God things. So I was trying to be missionary. I was trying to be prison minister. I was trying to be radio evangelist. I was trying to be pastor. I was trying to be prophet. I was trying to be evangelist. I was trying to be everything but what God called me to be. And that was who I am in Him. And I haven't yet figured that out, but that's who I am tonight. Can you say amen? Amen. A lot of other people have me figured out. I'm so glad they did. I have people tell me, oh, Brother Venable, he's this and he's that and he's the other. Well, I wish you would tell the Lord to tell me. Can you say, man? I'm just doing what I know to do. I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If there's anything on my tombstone about the legacy I leave, I am a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In that piece of ground, if Jesus tarries, lies a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's all I care to be known as. Rest of the categories, I'm not worried about. I am called to preach. Hallelujah. And I love Him. And He's worthy. I'm in a room with converted people. And I'm glad you came to Christ in a ministry that convicted you, made you uncomfortable, confronted you with your sin, and called you to salvation. So that you came to get what Jesus came to give. And that is forgiveness of sins. He said, when you take the cup on communion morning, when you drink of it, you know that my blood has been poured out for many for the remission of sins. That's why I went to the cross. That's what the gospel is all about. Amen. The things we don't want to talk about for fear of offending people is the greatest love for fallen man that the universe will ever know. Can you say amen? And we don't want to hear about a love like that. We need to hear about a love like that. Because no one needs to be lost. For He shed His blood for the whole world. Amen. If you believe in election, I'm sorry. Amen. That's not what the Bible teaches. Can you say amen? We got all kinds of, I can't even go there. Don't get me started. We got charismatic circles now blending some stuff from Mary Baker Eddy and some stuff from the Mormons and some stuff from way out there, and we're talking about we're getting this from God. No, you read something, you heard something, you're under the influence of something. But honey, this book doesn't allow for that junk. Can you say amen? It's junk food, spiritual junk food. It'll hurt you. It'll clog your arteries. Amen. It'll back you up. Amen. Hallelujah. I won't go any further with that. But you know what we need, don't you? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I didn't say that, Sean did. But God is good tonight. Amen. And I want to see more and more people come to know Him in the way that He said is the only true way He can be known. And they're drawn by the Holy Spirit, convicted of their sin, repent of their sin, and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to change the heart. He already changes the destiny. He writes our name in the book of life. Then He begins to change the heart. Can you say amen? And all of this works from the inside out. It's God that worketh in you then. He's been permitted to enter that place that He will not force His way into. But you've invited Him into your life. And believe me, when you invite the God that created the universe into your life, He can work creatively in you, work creatively in me. Amen. Hallelujah. And I love Him tonight. Will you stand to your feet? I don't know if this is going to go, and I don't even think it may not, because we had a few glitches in it. We will get it right before we send. But the door is open, and it's being held open until we can send it. Don't have to happen this Sunday. I've had a few problems today because we are now moving this service, these services, directly into the live services, into the radio situation. At home, I have full control over it. Amen. If I've had a bad day, I go in and pray through and make my radio broadcast, and there's nothing that can hinder it. If my car won't run, I don't need it to run to make the broadcast. Hallelujah. Amen. But this morning I got up to a dead battery. Amen. And y'all had to stall for me to get here, and everything went off kilter, and the timing went off. And then we found out that our music doesn't sound as beautiful as it is. Amen. To the human ear when we try to tape it. Can you say, man, it is beautiful. Come on, give yourself a break tonight. These are good worshipers tonight from the heart. But it don't sound as good technically. Amen. But it's going to sound better because we're going to get a new soundboard, praise God. And we're going to work on it until we're able to get it right. Amen. And we're going to put it on the air, and God's going to use it. He's going to use you, and He's going to use me, and He's going to use His word. And He's going to heal where He wants to heal and help where He wants to help. He's a good God. Amen. I expected some problems and bumps in the road. That's nothing to a door being open. You know what Paul said? A great and effectual door is opened unto me at Ephesus, and there are many adversaries. I think that's confirmation that it's really God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If it's something that has such potential that the devil fights it, you can bet God is in it, because He fights what He fears. And if we wasn't a threat to Him, He wouldn't bother us. We'd run smooth as butter. We just wouldn't touch anybody for Jesus. Can you say amen? But we're going to touch some people for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God has not got this ministry on a shelf. He's not got you and me on it either. Amen. Somebody's going to drive down here from North Florida one of these days. You know what? They're going to come in here expecting several hundred people and some great preacher in an Escalade. And they're going to see me in my S10. And they're going to say, this is not the church, is it? And I'm going to say, oh yeah, this is the church. Did you come to see the church, or did you come, amen, to celebrate the Jesus that we worship here? Can you say amen? Amen? Amen. You know, in Washington, D.C., there's a church close to the Capitol. And it was announced that the president was going to that church, true story, to worship on a given Sunday. And so a whole bunch of people found out the president was going to, not the press either, just, you know, people that wanted to be in church with the president of the United States. A bunch of them decided to show up at that church. And just at the last minute before that entourage come, because they would bring him in late after everybody else is in for security reasons, they were actually en route to go to the church, and he got an emergency call that he had a meeting that he had, and he had to cancel going to that church service that morning and call the pastor and said it's canceled. So the pastor came forward and said, for those of you here, because he knew what was going to happen, because his church was full of people that didn't normally come. So he said, for those of you here that came to see the President of the United States, I've got bad news for you. He just called and said he's not coming this Sunday. And you know, everybody, he said, but those of you who came this morning to worship Jesus Christ, I've got good news for you. Where two or more are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is in our midst. Praise the Lord. Did you feel Him tonight? All right, let's give Him some praise. Glory to God. Number 9, praise God. Let's give Him some praise tonight. Glory to the Lamb. Let's just give Him some praise before we leave this building. Hallelujah. Lift Him up tonight. Let's just lift Him up. Let's enjoy Him before we go home. There's something called times of refreshing from the hand of the Lord.